Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
The book of Philippians is one of four books in a collection known as the prison epistles or prison letters, because they were written by Paul during his first imprisonment in Rome when he was under house arrest for 2 years. And each of these letters to each of these churches and one person had a theme to it. And we've taken up that study. We've already studied Ephesians, which is the believer's position in Christ. Now we're in Philippians. Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi, and the theme is the believer's participation in Christ. The key theme of the book is fellowship. Many, if not most, theologians and those who have commentaries out on this will tell you that the theme is joy. But fellowship is the key teaching of the text. Joy is the result of having fellowship together. The theme is fellowship. And the book of Philippians is divided up into two sections, chapters 1 and 2, the doctrine of Christian fellowship. And in chapters 3 and 4, the details of Christian fellowship. So far, we have studied the preface, verses 1 and 2, the introduction in verse 1, Paul and Timothy. Timothy was one of those with him. He was a traveler and fellow servant with Paul for about 25 to 30 years. He took over for Paul after Paul was put to death and was leading the church there, churches there in Asia Minor. But Paul presents he and Timothy as slaves. That's a hint to how we can have fellowship, proper fellowship together. We are servants. We're slaves of Christ and of one another. And to all the saints in Christ Jesus. The word saints means set apart for the Lord's purposes. So we're slaves of Christ who have been set apart for the Lord's purposes, which means that when I have fellowship with the other believers, certainly I must deny myself and take up the cross, take up my cross and follow the Lord. But when I'm with other believers, I am their servants, and I'm set apart for the Lord to minister through me to them, not for me to insist on my own way. So he writes this letter to the believers in Philippi with the overseers and servers. Those are the leaders in the church. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the normal greeting, grace to Greeks and shalom or peace to the Jews. But Paul puts in a very special source. It's not from his heart. It's not from man. It's from God. And God is the only one that can supply peace and grace spiritually to a person's heart. But then last week, we got into the first section, the prayer of Paul. The prayer of Paul, verses 3 through 8. And that part is broken up into two sections, verses 3 through 6, the foundation of fellowship, and verses 7 and 8, the participation of fellowship. The foundation of fellowship and the participation of fellowship. We are going slow through this first part, verses 3 through 6, the foundation of fellowship, to understand and be established in the proper foundation and understanding of what it means to be in Christ and to have fellowship with others in Christ. If we saw in verse 3 last time the commendation of Paul, where he says, I give thanks to my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every petition of mine on behalf of you all, making petition with joy. And so Paul gives thanks. Whenever he remembers them, he gives thanks to God. And in every petition of his for them, he makes petition with joy. Joy is the Greek word for satisfaction, not the word for happiness, but rather the word for satisfaction. It satisfies Paul. It is pleasing to him to remember them, and it is a joy to remember believers. Whenever you think of them, you thank God for them. Because there's enough of us that people remember that say, what a pain, you know? So, verses 3 and 4, the commendation of Paul. Verse 5, the characteristic of all saints or all Christians. The characteristic of all saints. And then lastly, that we'll take next week, verse 6, the confidence of Paul that he has in them and God's work in them. So as I give thanks to my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every petition of mine on behalf of you all, making petition with joy. Now here's the reason why he gives thanks. Upon your fellowship toward the gospel, that's into the gospel, that shows action, from the first day until now. Paul had visited the city of Philippi some 10 years earlier, 10 years before he wrote the letter. And he's talking to believers who from the very first day that they heard the gospel and surrendered to Christ and received Christ, until now, 10 whole years, they have fellowship. There's your theme of the book. They had fellowshiped into the gospel, the activities of the gospel, from the first day until this very day, right now, 10 years later. So he thanks God for them because they have the characteristic that is marked of every believer, of every saint. Every Christian is a saint, and every saint is a believer. And that is this continuing with the Lord. Abiding with the Lord. Never leaving the Lord. And let me qualify that. Because in the human, we can turn our backs and try to leave Him. The point is, if He is present in your life, you can never get away from Him. You can go off on an island by yourself to get away from God and get away from people. But then you're stuck with yourself, who happens to be people. And you're alone with God. Because if you're born of His Spirit, if you belong to Christ, He's there with you. Perfect opportunity for God to reach one of His people. Get off on an island by yourself. Can't get away from Him. Continuing or abiding in the Lord is the mark or characteristic of the genuine believer. In John chapter 8, verses 30 through 32, John 8, 30 to 32, the Lord is the one who gave the basis for the teaching. Because many Jews had believed Him. That's how it literally reads. It's a perfect tense verb that means that they have come to a point of believing Him. That is, I believe that you're telling the truth. Then said Jesus to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my genuine disciples." That's not a challenge. He's saying that's a characteristic. You believe that I'm telling you the truth, and you believe certain things about me. But a genuine disciple is somebody who continues in my word. And again, that's not a challenge. That's a characteristic. That's a condition. Because the only way that we can continue in his word is when his spirit drives us to his word. In the natural, we're not interested in the word of God. Some people might be interested religiously in the Bible. But God's people continue in his word because the Spirit of God drives us to his word. And he goes on to say, "And you shall know the truth." This is for the disciples. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So my people who are genuinely my people, my disciples, Jesus is saying, the characteristic is they will continue in my word, and while they continue in my word, they will come to know the truth, and the truth is going to set them free. And for the longest time as a believer, I thought, how can that be? Because the more I continued in his word, the more I was brought into bondage by various people's teachings. Why aren't you in church on Sunday night? Why aren't you in church on Wednesday night? You're not continuing in the word. If you're God's people, God wants you to continue in his word. It's not what it's talking about. So how can I be set free by following that truth? It doesn't. It puts me in bondage. God's Spirit is faithful to bring me to the Word, and through our study of the Word, I learn the truth, and that truth sets me free. Free from the traditions of man, and free to have a fellowship, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're studying one of those truths this morning. If you are a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, it will set you free from the stress and the guilt that either you've put on yourself or others have put on you. According to John 8, 30 to 32, Jesus said to those who believed him, see, you can believe and not be genuinely his disciple. Not have surrendered to Christ. Well, I believe what he's telling me is the truth. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. Okay, have you surrendered your life to him? Have you been surrendered your life and received his Spirit? And in so doing, you now belong to Christ. Have you been born of the Spirit of God? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know about that. Well, you will know because you will continue. You might even try to get away. Hey, I admit it. I've tried to get away many times. One of the reasons why we moved to Santa Maria, this is my third time here, is because I wanted to get away from the big church scene. I wanted to start my own business. It was the height of my physical strength and business ability, and took the time to build a big business, big successful business. I was like a Jonah. You know, I was trying to get away. Leave L.A., leave the big church, come here, start a business, raise a family, and just move on. But God had a big fish waiting. Waiting until the business and all built up, and then all of a sudden the automobile accidents began to happen. I couldn't keep up with the work. Got to the point of disability, lost the home, lost the business, had to move into the church here, which never had anyone live in it before. And you know, it took a few years to upgrade it to living conditions. And all the while, the Lord's saying, you can run, but you can't hide. Go ahead and do your thing. Build up your business. Out of his faithfulness to me, he brought me down. Tried to get away from teaching his word. Tried to get away. I mean, I would read the Bible. That's not studying it, but I would read the Bible. So we had Bible studies on the side, you know, just during the week. In fact, I think the latest ones before we took over here was on Sunday afternoons. We had a study group in our home. I can't get away from the Word. I can't. I can try, but I can't. It's not because of any human desire that I have. It's because of the faithfulness of the Lord. If that is his design for his people, where he speaks to his people, where he ministers to his people, and through it he changes and transforms our lives, he's going to draw us to his word. We can't get away from it. You can try. But if you belong to him, you can't do it. In Matthew 24:13, a verse that many people quote, Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same person shall be saved." Jesus talking about the last days. Literally, it's an aorist participle that describes the characteristic of the person who will be saved. Literally, it reads, "But the one who has endured unto the end, this one will be saved." It's pointing out the characteristic of the saved person. His characteristic is that he has endured all the way to the end. The Jews who will be used by the Lord during the tribulation period. 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They will be sealed and protected by God. They will endure to the end because they are sealed. Talking about us in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he said, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us a birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for you, those of you who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We have an inheritance in heaven, but in the meantime, we are being kept by the power of God, guarded by the power of God until our salvation comes. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "Concerning Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Those who genuinely belong to Christ, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is the guarantee until Christ comes for the purchased possession. We have been bought. We have been purchased. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We are told to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. When I sin, when I rebel against God, God's Spirit grieves in me. That is the proof that I belong to Christ. But I'm told not to grieve him, the one who has sealed me, until the day of redemption. So you see, the genuine believer is being kept, guarded, sealed, until Christ comes. The characteristic of the genuine believer is that he or she endures to the end. Not by their own human will or human strength, but that's the characteristic of what God's Spirit does for us. If indeed His Spirit lives in me, basically the Bible is saying there's no way you cannot make it. He's in us. In 1 John chapter 4, when John talked about the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world, and he says, but you who are genuine believers, you have already overcome the spirit of Antichrist, because greater is he that is in you than the spirit that's in the world. We've already overcome because of Christ, not because of us. Can a person leave Christ? You can physically leave. And if you're able to follow, to leave Christian fellowship and follow false doctrine, according to the Bible, it is a revelation that you never belong to Christ. You don't, it's not a matter of losing your salvation. You can't lose Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, John says, little children, it is the last time, and as you heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. There's the word continue. But they went out in order that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. He says, if a person comes and they profess belief in Christ, they profess the truth, belief in the truth of God's word, and then they leave to go follow false doctrine. We're not talking about people leaving churches from one church to another. We're talking about leaving the truth and going and joining up with false doctrine and following false doctrine. 1 John 2:19 says that is a manifestation that that person really never belonged to Christ. It shows that they were not of us, because had they been of us, they would have not left us. They would have continued. So a non-believer can sound like a believer, talk like a believer, act like a believer, especially out in public or around other people. And then we're shocked when, after a while, they turn back and go into false doctrine. We're shocked because how can a believer do that? Well, a believer can't. Why? Because the Lord keeps us. I and the human can chase after maybe a doctrine that someone would present to me, but it would be Christ in me that would convict me and show me that it's wrong. But I cannot go to my old lifestyle and continue in sin. I cannot go back or follow after false teaching and stay there, because God's Spirit is in me, and God's Spirit will grieve, and God's Spirit will bring me back to Him and back to the truth. Jesus made a statement. He says, if you genuinely belong to Him, you will know the truth when you hear it. Not because it lines up with what I believe is true, but because God's Spirit will testify to me and manifest to me that it's the truth. So going back to our first text, John 8, 30 to 32, where Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's one of those things. The characteristic of a believer is that you continue in fellowship with the gospel from the first day until now. That doesn't mean we're talking about never missing a Sunday. We don't have a secret attendance chart with little gold stars on it in my office as to here's the genuine one, stars all the way across. You know. That's not what it means. In fact, it was good that George was here with us for a couple of weeks. I know his wife is sick. But he said last week, he says, "Oh, it's so good to be back." See, there's a believer. Driven back to the things of Christ. That's his faithfulness. You and I endure to the end because he brings us to the end. And that's the characteristic of the believer. And that's why Paul could give thanks for them. He says, "After 10 years, you've proven to me that you're genuine. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel." And that's what he's thanking them for and showing them what true fellowship is. Next week, we will take the confidence that Paul had in them and how we have the promise that what God begins, God will complete. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Certainly the truth does set us free. Not free for a license for sin, but free to thank you and worship you and have fellowship with you, knowing that it is your faithfulness to us and your work in us that keeps us in Christ. That we are not able to keep ourselves, but rather it is the work of your Spirit. And for that we're grateful and give you that thanks. We pray that as we continue in your word will continue to set us free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.